This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. The Texas legislature is considering a bill to exempt the state from daylight savings time. House member Lyle Larson says he doesn't care whether voters opt for standard or daylight savings time. He just wants to stop changing clocks twice a year. The man credited with discovering circadian rhythm, or internal clocks, in mammals, takes no sides on Larson's bill, but Dr. Joseph Takahashi of UT Southwestern Medical Center believes we'd all be better off on standard time. He explained why to me in this edition of Vital Signs.
Most people tend to wake up later each day if they were free. Without a schedule.
A
few minutes later each day. It means that our internal clock is a little longer than 24 hours typically for most people. And so it's harder to advance your clock than it is to delay your clock. These are all sort of general statements. And so that's why the spring shift to daylight savings time, it tends to be more disruptive than the fall back shift to standard time. Now, you'd think that 1 hour is not much, but certain individuals actually, when they're studied, take many weeks to shift that little 1 hour time. And so that's causing a disruption in their bodies for a few weeks at least. And when the shift occurs, we actually see a significant increase in accidents and other side effects of just that time shift.
Is it just the shift forward, or is it even the shift backwards? In other words, is it that shift twice a year going backward and forward that makes a difference, or either one?
I think most scientists would agree that it would be better to stay on one schedule throughout the year, but in addition to that, it's actually much preferable to stay on standard time. That's sort of more the natural timing of our rhythms to the day-night cycle of the sun, standard time.
Because?
Some surprising epidemiological evidence has come out from the National Cancer Institute, where they can look at cancer rates county by county in certain states across the U.S., and when they do that, they can see a gradient across each time zone where the risk is higher when you're on the western border of your time zone. And that happens in every time zone. That's why it's sort of a remarkable result, because our time zones are completely an artificial construct.
It doesn't really coincide with the natural way we wake up, go to sleep, conduct our lives.
That's right.
The natural body clock.
That's right. And being on the western edge of a time zone is similar to being on daylight savings time. It's actually been replicated in China, which has only one time zone. It's a huge country. And there they've observed the same effect, where on the western extreme of China, the relative risk is higher for things like cancer.
So in the meantime, now that we have had this switch to daylight savings time, what's the best way to comfortably make that adjustment, to get used to it?
You have to go to sleep earlier by 1 hour. Then you do want to avoid caffeinated drinks in the evening. Caffeine has a very long half-life, about 6 hours in people. So that means if you have a coffee at 6 p.m., it's still around at midnight. You should have a bedroom environment that is quiet and dark, and probably no or minimal electronics.
Blue light.
Avoid in the evening blue light, because that'll delay your clock when you're trying to advance it.
Temperature of that room matter at all?
I don't know how good the studies are on this, but in general, cool temperature is optimal for sleeping. I wouldn't advise pharmacological solutions to the daylight savings time shift. We should be able to deal with that 1 hour shift naturally.
Dr. Takahashi, thank you for being with me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.